Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On Tuesday evening, even people closely following Washington politics and the inner workings of the Trump administration expressed shock when it was discovered that FBI Director James Comey had been fired by the president. It's come out since then that Comey had just asked for extra money to look into questions of Russian intervention in the 2016 presidential election. But the reason that Trump gave for firing the director was over the mishandling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton and her use of a private email server during her time as Secretary of State. The reaction from Vermont's two senators in Washington was swift and blistering. Bernie Sanders told VPR that Trump's stated reason doesn't wash with him.
No, I don't believe it for a second. I mean, in fact, it's totally ludicrous. I mean, Trump was almost encouraging people at campaign rallies to shout out, lock her up," and now suddenly to say that that's the reason the way he conducted his investigation of Clinton is nonsense. Now, obviously, I am concerned about the way he handled himself, the way Comey handled himself during the campaign, but that's certainly not the reason that Trump fired him.
And Sanders says there's still more to discover.
The key question, and we don't know the answer to this, is was there collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, or did Russia just act independently? That's what the investigation is about, and that's what we need to find out. And the only way, I think, that we find that out is through a special counsel independently appointed, not by the Attorney General of the United States or anybody in the Trump administration.
Senator Patrick Leahy agrees that more investigation is needed.
What comes next? Do you put in somebody who would just do whatever the White House tells them to? Does this shut down the Russian investigation? We had a hearing this week with Sally Yates and General Clapper. A lot of it they could not discuss in public because of classified material. They made it very clear that there is an ongoing Russian investigation. It should be completed. It should be done thoroughly. And there are very, very serious concerns about the threat to our own country by Russia.
Here to help us out with some context is Middlebury College political science professor Matt Dickinson. Matt, nice to have you back on the show.
Glad to be with you, Jane.
So anything from the timeline that you think is important before we dive into this conversation and our listeners weigh in with their thoughts?
Well, the timeline, I think, is the story. It's not very surprising, I think, that Comey was removed. It's the fact that he was removed apparently soon after requesting more funds to strengthen his investigation of possible collusion between Trump campaign and the Russians. That's the story here. Otherwise, I think both Democrats and Republicans have all along argued that Comey should be removed. So his removal is not so much the story as the fact that it took place now.
Yeah. And do you see any, any possibility that those two side-by-side events are unrelated? The fact that he had just asked for more money to continue this investigation, which was looking into collusion, which may have implicated the Trump campaign, and the fact that he was fired now. I mean, that's what people are pointing to. But is there any possibility that those two things are unrelated?
You're asking me to explain Donald Trump.
And yes, I am.
That is the inexplicable question. Answer will not be forthcoming from me. Clearly, the both sides are somewhat hypocritical here in the reaction, the Republicans and the Democrats. But certainly that's the story the Democrats are going to seize upon, argue that it's quite clear why he fired Comey. It had nothing to do with the stated reason that he was somehow not managing the FBI or the investigation or Hillary Clinton's emails. We can't dismiss the possibility that that's true. It's also the case, however, that according to a lot of reports, Trump has been consistently unhappy with Comey. There was really no good time to replace him, if you think about it. When would have been a better time for Trump to remove Comey once we know that the FBI was investigating the Russian ties? There really was no good time to do it.
Right. I guess, Yes, this is the conversation that everybody's having. So it's unfair of me to say, Matt Dickinson, can you solve it for us? Can you give us the answer? But, you know, we hear from our delegation in those clips that I just played that they don't even think this passes the smell test. And yet, as you said, there have been people on both sides of the aisle who for months now have been calling for Comey's resignation or Comey's firing for one reason or the other. And yet now Donald Trump may have thought, good, this is going to be a decision that's popular on both sides of the aisle. And here he fires Director Comey, and it is a firestorm. So, you know, no good time, perhaps, but wasn't this possibly the worst time?
Possibly. I'm trying to think of, it could have been worse. It probably could have been worse if there were reports leaked that there was evidence of collusion and then he got fired. I suppose we can think of hypotheticals, but you're absolutely right. The reaction here politically, optically, for an overused word by pundits, is not very good. Having said that, Donald Trump is so far carried out a presidency playing by his own rules when it comes to optics. And he doesn't really seem to care all that much about the appearances of breaking norms, established norms that have sort of guided relationship between Washingtonians for decades. So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised about this. And beyond the optics, the real important question that we have to try to foresee, and it'll play out over the next days and weeks, is does he lose support among the Republican Party? And so far, it does not look like he is.
Dennis wrote in, Professor Dickinson, with the first question, which seems to be screaming into the wind, what does it mean? And then Dennis says, I remember the Saturday night massacre in 1973. Any parallels here, pathways? What comes next? So what about comparisons to that have been flying to Nixon?
Well, there's obviously the superficial resemblance, and perhaps even more than superficial politically. The idea that the president has acted in a way that seems to thwart an effort to investigate action by him or his subordinates just screams out Watergate all over again. Having said that, there's also differences. And the biggest difference is that when Richard Nixon committed his famous Saturday Night Massacre in 1973 by firing Archie Cox, who had been appointed as a special prosecutor to investigate the alleged crimes involved in Watergate, nobody questioned Cox's ethics, his ability to carry out the investigation. And so there was no other interpretation other than Nixon was deliberately obstructing justice. Here, it's not so clear. I mean, the problem Democrats have is, as you pointed out several months ago, they were calling for Comey's to get fired for his handling of the emails investigation. So there are a lot of questions here about Comey's credibility as the head of the FBI. And that's what makes this slightly different than Watergate.
Let's go to Joe calling in from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hi, Joe. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Trump voter, and I really don't care about Comey. He's just a government bureaucrat, and he'll just get replaced by somebody else in the agency. Nobody cares.
So, Joe, when you think about not Comey, but the timing of his firing and the way this has blown back on Donald Trump, because people are it at least gives them ammunition to say this is being done because he's worried that Comey might find something about collusion with Russia. You don't see that?
No, because that's just a straw man that the Democrats and media are putting up. If they'll just replace him with another guy, and if there's something there, they'll uncover it. He's just a bureaucrat. He'll get replaced by somebody else. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if every Trump voter feels this way, but I don't really care. Nobody cares about the guy.
Yeah. Joe, I appreciate your perspective. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. And maybe that helps answer the questions that we got from Mark, who says, for him, quote, perhaps the most depressing aspect of all these political shenanigans is that tens of millions of Americans still support the president no matter what he says or does or despite any conflict of interest that's been suggested. Mark asks, are Trump's popular supporters paying attention to the news? Do they really not understand what's happening? To what depths does Trump and his administration have to sink in order to erode the popular support among the very average Americans who voted for him? And here we have Joe saying, you know, Comey's a bureaucrat. This doesn't matter. This is not a huge deal. Professor Dickinson, you know, in some ways, hearing Mark's comments and Joe's comments, it suggests that this, if anything, only further widens the divide. It is not exactly bringing people together.
That's absolutely right. There's no evidence so far that this decision has altered the basis of support for those who are Trump backers, nor changed the minds of those who feel that Trump is, if not an illegitimate president, certainly not a very competent one. This sort of fits into the prevailing narrative. It doesn't change it. If anything, it hardens both sides. Now, Joe raises an important point, which is the lessons of history are that Nixon's effort to thwart the Watergate investigation backfired in ways that ultimately led him to resign. And Joe's absolutely right. And Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, mentioned this as well. Removing Comey is almost certainly not going to change the tenor of the investigation by the FBI. It's too far down the road to call that train back to the station. And it's also the case that in some ways, it's probably renewed focus on that investigation going to make it much more likely that that investigation will lead to more transparency regarding the outcome. And now what that outcome will be, we don't know. But if people think this is actually going to thwart the investigation, history suggests otherwise.
We got a note from Peter who says, why don't Republicans remove the least fit president in history, the representative of the party of Lincoln who bears not the slightest resemblance to Lincoln? Mike Pence is a perfectly normal Republican. Impeach the president, remove him from office, and let Mike Pence be president. What's the problem? So Matt Dickinson, what's the problem?
Well, first of all, I think most Republicans do not want to see this country go through an impeachment. And no matter how much they hold their nose when somebody mentions the name Donald Trump and president in the same sentence. But the fact of the matter is, recent surveys suggest an overwhelming number of Trump supporters continue to back him. I think like 2% have expressed remorse, buyer's remorse. And that's far less than, for instance, the remorse among those who supported Hillary Clinton. And again, this gets back to Joe's point. Trump gambles that the establishment norms that guide Washington media and cable news talk shows are precisely the norms that a good chunk of his supporters just sort of reject. And they say – they buy into sort of the Trump argument that these people are part of the loyal opposition and they can't be trusted. And everything they say against Trump just sort of reinforces that impression that he's got to clean out the swamp.
Well, beyond that, you can't just impeach a president because you don't like him.
I mean, well, exactly.
It's not against the law to fire the FBI director.
Exactly. The people who argue there's a constitutional crisis here overlook the fact that it's certainly within the rights, statutorily speaking, for a president to remove a political appointee. This has been done countless times before, not necessarily the FBI agent. So there's no breaking of the law here per se. It's much more the sense that it was an inappropriate thing to do, but not an illegal thing.
We're talking about national events this week, specifically the firing of James Comey and how this fits into historical context and presidential norms. We're talking with Middlebury College political science professor Matt Dickinson. Barbara is calling in from Bennington. Hi, Barbara. Where are you going with this?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to make the point, kind of in disagreeing with the professor. I lived through Watergate. I listened to the Watergate hearings ad nauseum, 24 hours a day, because I was out of work and planning a vacation at that time. But anyway, point being that the Republicans in those days were not these Republicans. Mitch McConnell's behavior has been atrocious. He's ruthless. He will keep power no matter what, and they are not going to investigate no matter what Trump does, and they are going to shut this down. And, you know, it's scary. I'm scared. I'm really scared, and I've never been scared in my life before about my country.
Barbara, thanks for sharing your perspective. Chris is on the line with us from Lyme, New Hampshire. Chris, what are you thinking?
Hi. His response today of why he fired Comey, because what was it? He said I didn't think he did a good job, is so similar to many responses he's given in the past that are just so like a little child. He reminds me of a little grade school boy that comes up with the first thing out of his head and doesn't give it any thought. And is overly simplistic.
Well, or Chris, that's a good thing. He wasn't doing a good job, so I fired him. What could be clearer than that? Maybe simplicity is a good thing rather than a pejorative thing.
No, it just shows that he doesn't give any thought to his speaking his speech.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate hearing your perspective. We'll get one more in here from Jacob in Mount Holly. Hi, Jacob. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
My point is if Comey never got fired and if he came out today or tomorrow and said that there was no ties to Russia and his investigation was over, how the Democrats would spin that and be asking for his resignation.
Yeah, so you think the Democrats would have tried to fire him or would have wanted to fire him if he found nothing, and what, that they're now using this to try to make political hay?
I think any way around it, anything that Trump does, they'll spin it to fit their belief system or just try to make Trump look bad no matter what.
Jacob, do you think that there's anything that bothers you about the appearance of a conflict of interest or the appearance of potential collusion with Russia?
I don't believe that there's anything. I think we've been into this long enough where they would have already have found it if it was there. And I think we just need to move on and try to reunite the country and come back together.
Do you think that's possible, Jacob? I mean, even just hearing what we're hearing from various listeners today, doesn't seem like there's a lot of middle ground. You think it's possible?
I think not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I think sometime down the road is possible.
Well, Jacob, I appreciate your positive spin on that at the very least. Sue is calling in from Essex. Hi, Sue. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I have an opposite feeling regarding this. I feel that there definitively needs to be an independent commission and counsel to do this investigation. The deputy attorney general was asking the advice of Jeff Sessions regarding this. The firing of Comey. However, Jeff Sessions had recused himself not only from the Russian investigation, but also from the Hillary Clinton email probe. And so why was he involved in this at all? Obviously, the deputy attorney general isn't able to handle this by himself. And so I think that there really does need to be an independent commission to handle this whole thing. I have absolutely no faith that this will be handled properly if it stays in the hands of the Republicans.
Sue, thank you. Nora, let's get your perspective in here before we return to Professor Dickinson. Nora's calling in from Hanover, New Hampshire. Hi there.
Hi. I just find it really disturbing how Americans are not, this is not about being Republican or Democrat. This is about our country. It's obvious Russia has tried, you know, they've interfered in the French elections, they're interfered in our elections, and not to have more questions, not to be more skeptical, and just to drink the Kool-Aid that Trump is selling. Trump is not a true Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not a patriot. And I just can't believe the amount of support that people have for him. You know, I support certain things, and I try to praise him for the good things that he's done. But this is not okay. He fired the lead investigator in the middle of a serious investigation, and all of America should be up in arms asking questions. It doesn't matter what your background is.
Nora, thank you for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate that. So, Matt Dickinson, a lot of perspectives there, but also we're starting to think about this idea of who now should carry on any investigation into the Trump campaign and any potential collusion with Russia. And a lot of people on the Democratic side, at least, calling for an independent investigation. Now, to the question of what happens within the FBI, just because the director is fired doesn't mean that investigation stops. Now, I understand that people are concerned that this will have a dramatic impact on that. But what can you tell us about what happens now with the investigation that's going on with the FBI and who else might be able to do some investigating?
So you're absolutely correct. The FBI, the career agents in there who are not partisan but are careerists who serve the FBI professionally, are in the middle of an ongoing investigation, and there's no reason to expect that that will change. Once they come to a conclusion, they make a recommendation to the Justice Department on whether criminal charges should be filed. That's where the political side of things can become complicated. As the several callers have noted, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has recused himself from involvement here. They also may make recommendations, the Justice Department, to Congress on whether – now, keep in mind, both the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees are conducting their own investigations. There's always a possibility that they could – if the seriousness – if it warrants it, they could have a joint congressional investigation like they did in Iran-Contra. But the alternative perspective here that several callers have raised and which Democrats have seized upon, again, citing Watergate and other investigations, is an independent prosecutor. And here we used to have an independent prosecutor statute on the books. That has lapsed. It had lapsed mostly because both the Democrats and the Republicans got tired of seeing their own side basically torn and basically politically damaged.
Can we look at Bill Clinton here on that score?
Yeah, Bill Clinton with Ken Starr, Lawrence Welsh on the Iran-Contra affair. And so if you're going to have an independent prosecutor right now, it would be up to the discretion of the attorney general who has recused himself from this. So it would probably fall to the deputy attorney general. And they would make the recommendation that an independent prosecutor would be appointed. Democrats would love this. Republicans, if they are smart, would not, because this is putting Captain Ahab in charge of the party, and you're signing on to the Pequod, and he will run amok with an investigation until Moby Dick, is in the form of Donald Trump, is brought to trial on one charge or another. This is what the history of special prosecutors have said. So I don't see any Republican at this point expressing an interest in an independent prosecutor. And unless there's great political pressure among Republican supporters that's going to hurt them electorally in 2018, I don't see them going down that road.
Yeah, and at least from what we've been hearing from Trump supporters who are calling in today, there's not a call for that coming from the right.
Not yet. Now, again, there have been several prominent Republicans who have said the timing of this smells, as you've pointed out. But on the other hand, as you've also correctly pointed out, there's nothing illegal about what Trump has done. And so for now, there doesn't seem any mass desertion among Republican lawmakers, despite the comments of Nora and Chris and Sue, who think this is a betrayal of American interests.
Let's go to Andy calling in from Norwich. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Thanks. I'm glad you just said that again about what Trump doing not being illegal, because I think that is false, except on the most naive view of this, because he clearly fired Comey because he wanted to thwart the investigation, and that's obstruction of justice. If they put anybody on oath, under oath, and say, why was this done? Okay, they're going to get to the bottom of it. 30 people spoke to the Washington Post, right, saying this is why this was done, and that's obstruction of justice. So that's illegal.
Right. So so you're pointing out here that the question is, what was the motivation? And it's not illegal, as you said, to fire the director of the FBI because you think he's doing a bad job. But this, if it's a conflict of interest, if you're doing it because you're being investigated and you're firing him in order to not be investigated or to thwart an investigation, there would be a problem with that. But Matt Dickinson, you know, here's Andy saying, this has been proven, but it hasn't been proven, and it's certainly not what Trump is saying.
Right. We don't have to buy Donald Trump's justification to understand that it. The argument points to the plain fact of the matter that he has the right on any basis to remove any political appointee that he feels is not doing the job, whether for partisan reasons, for disagreement with tactics, or whatever criteria he believes justifies the dismissal. So it is not illegal. Now, it may be unethical. It may rub people the wrong way. It may be politically costly, which is almost as bad. But there is nothing illegal that can be used in a court of law to charge the president with acting in a way that would lead to impeachment, not at least in this immediate case.
Let's go to Ethan in Reigate. Hi, Ethan. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, I've just been thinking, you know, I'm a Democrat. I was never going to support Mr. Trump. But I also have a sense that we need to really think about taking both things that Democrats and Republicans are saying with a grain of salt. When you really think about it, the Democrats were never going to be happy about what Mr. Comey did, but I personally don't know that they would have gone to the extent of, you know, that what he did was illegal. I know that there was some talk about it, but as a consensus in the party, I don't know that that was necessarily their approach. And I know that's a point that's been brought up from a lot of Trump supporters about being a hypocrisy, that that because, you know, they had called for it before, you know, that all of a sudden they love James Comey, and that's just not the case. It's more about the act of firing, and that's something that gets disconnected a lot. And
yeah.
The last thing really quick I wanted to say was I heard a supporter just call in of Mr. Trump's, and he talked about unity. And I really want us to be cautious of when we talk about unity, and I mean we as in the state sense, I guess. Does that mean unity or does that mean conformity? Because I think a big problem that we have in politics is that we seek to kind of overpower each other with a certain agenda and don't necessarily build the consensus we need to. Because the reality is Democrats are never going to be on board with exploitation of workers. They're never going to be on board with mass deportations. It's just not going to happen. So if you want unity, you have to build compromise. And that's, I guess, that's what I'm thinking.
And Andy, do you think that's possible? I mean, excuse me, Ethan, do you think that's possible?
I do. Honestly, I do. I think to the extent, well, like Mr. Sanders, Bernie Sanders said, you know, to the point and to the extent where Mr. Trump is going to support workers, support an actually fair tax code. You know, I think that I like his idea of closing up loopholes in the corporate tax code, but dropping it to 15% is a little much. How can we balance that out? And actually give a tax break to people who it's going to really help, the middle class and lower income folks. You want to stimulate the economy. The reality is that's how it's going to get done with the middle and lower classes. Not so much around just, you know, if you want to fill the coffers, I guess that's how you're going to do it, by lowering the corporate tax code. So
yeah, Ethan, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that, this idea of, you know, finding unity in places where you can, but also questioning the idea of just, you know, we should all come together for the sake of the nation. We got a note from John who says, I'm a Republican, have been one for 45 years. I'm outraged by Trump's firing of James Comey. The reasons given, the timing, the manner in which it was done make one cringe. When will Republican leaders stand up to Trump? Not with measly words, but with actions. So John saying, I am a Republican and this does bother me. Nick is calling in from Warren. Hi, Nick. Your thoughts today.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. You know, we've been at this, you know, the pundits trying to react for almost 2 years now. And every time Trump throws a shiny object out there, everybody runs around and sort of, you know, tries to figure out what's happening. I'm still back on his tax returns. You know, let's get the tax returns. Let's look at those. There's a lot of speculation out there. There's, you know, investigations that may go on for years. But I think the Congress is fully within its right to ask for those tax returns. And I think that might cut to the chase on a lot of this.
Nick, thanks for the call. Matt Dickinson, has that ship sailed? I mean, it just doesn't seem like we're going to be getting tax returns.
But it doesn't mean Democrats can't ask for them.
Right.
And make that a political item leading into the 2018 midterms. And again, Nick brings up an interesting point. One thing we have to keep in mind is Comey has to be replaced. Right now, Andrew McCabe is the current acting director. He may, in fact, be nominated to replace. But there are going to be hearings, and these are going to give Democrats an opportunity to try to tie the confirmation process and their vote to some stipulation that, for instance, Donald Trump must release his tax forms, or the new FBI director must agree to conduct an impartial investigation by appointing an independent commission. No, it's unlikely Republicans are going to go along with this. But those hearings will allow Democrats to express some of the sentiments that your callers are expressing right now. Regarding Ethan's point about consensus, he's absolutely right. You're not going to get Democrats and Republicans to agree on issues because one is a Democrat and the other is a Republican. They disagree. But you can get them to agree to compromise and to come to deals on things like tax reform through log rolling and bargaining. The recent Congresses, the history is not promising on that regard, but if people press them enough, and remember, Donald Trump, one of the reasons that Trump's candidacy was so appealing is he was not part of either of the party establishments. So both parties have to be aware here that there's a whiff of hypocrisy involved in how they're responding to Trump's firing. And it's not necessarily endearing them to sort of Joe and Jane six-pack out there. No offense to you, Jane.
Yeah, hey, I'll take it. I'll answer to any name. But Matt, you know, one of the things that every time Donald Trump does something that seems to fly in the face of the normal behavior of a president, but that is still within the realm of legality, or even something like what you were just talking about, not releasing his tax returns, you know, it happens. People get outraged, but you know, we move on to the next outrage or the next piece of news. And so can you put the genie back in the bottle? I mean, is this just the world we live in where those norms that have served the presidency and served the American public for decades, if not centuries, are just gone? You know, I know you can't predict the future, but this seems to be a reflection of the world we're living in and not that we're not sort of turning back to the old way of doing things.
That's a great observation. I mean, we are in a brave new world when it comes to what we viewed as unacceptable behavior. Donald Trump has broken all those boundaries. I mean, when did we ever have a tweeting president? And we have just got to come to grips with this. And frankly, a lot of sort of the punditry and the establishment media is having a hard time doing that. Every time they say, this is it, Donald Trump has gone too far, the repercussions are such that we are on the brink of a political disaster, he just sails on with 96% support among those who voted for him. He's just rewriting the books as we watch in terms of what's acceptable behavior for the president. And who knows where this is going to end up. But it doesn't seem to be costing him politically.
A good time to be a political science professor, I would imagine.
That's a great time, Jane. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to enjoy this.
Matt Dickinson is a professor of political science at Middlebury College. I give you high marks for using a reference to Moby Dick in your explanation of current politics. That is like hashtag liberal arts. Matt, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Call me Ishmael.